Welcome back to the Dirt Shed Show. This week we are talking about what is the scariest event in mountain biking, plus all your usual favourites. Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's nice to have you in, Adam.
I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, so yeah. Ferg and Rich are both away, the lucky buggers escaping the UK winter. So we've switched you in from the tech set. But it's been quite an interesting week in mountain biking, well, weekend and also into the week. It's the first few like big events of 2026. So we had a massive one at the weekend. Not what you're thinking, Snowbike Worlds.
Snowbike Worlds. That was really cool. I think a little bit under the radar.
Obviously under the radar of events like Red Bull Hardline, which Ferg was actually out at. But also, I wouldn't say a little bit more niche, but something that also flies under the radar a bit, maybe in Gravity mountain biking world, we had Atlas mountain biking race. Which two of our GCN presenters are actually doing, Connor Dunn and
Maxime from GCN on Francais.
And they're actually smashing it, aren't they?
Yes, I think Max is in 21st and Connor's in 72nd as we speak. So yeah, both of them are well over halfway at the minute, but
in terms
stomping it.
Of events though, we couldn't have events from any further ends of the spectrum. So Atlas mountain bike race, if you don't know, is like an ultra mountain bike marathon race in Morocco in the Atlas mountains. It's around 1,300 kilometers with over 25,000 meters of elevation
gain.
I think most people take around 7 to 8 days to complete it. And then we have Red Bull Hardline, which the Red Bull Hardline series was created by Dan Afton. It was originally in Wales, and it's now developed into this super competitive race series. Now we have the Tasmania round as well. It's basically like the hardest downhill race in the world.
100%.
Unfortunately, it was rained off this year, but very different athletes do both events. But both in their own respect are super gnarly to do.
Yeah, I suppose one's gnar and one's far.
Yeah.
And it takes a certain mindset to do either. You just got to be like dialed in and just... There's no like half-ass in this at all. It's all...
In terms of fear levels, there's like, it's a different type of fear. I guess the original fear, like anyone can start doing the Atlas mountain race. You'd be very apprehensive about starting it. But I guess the difference with what is the scariest mountain bike event, everyone could start the Atlas mountain bike race. They might only get 30K in. The fear levels of doing something at Red Bull Hardline.
Not for me.
Not everyone can just think, I'll like give it a go.
Because
there is no like giving it a go. You probably get, I watched Ferg's course preview, you get to the first feature straight away and it's...
I mean, the roll-in was like, that'd be me done, I think.
It's so, in turn, you'd definitely rather do Atlas Mountain
100%.
Race. I'm the same. I guess that's both our backgrounds, but... and I was looking, actually, we were looking at the bikes from Atlas Mountain Race earlier. There is 60-year-olds who do Atlas Mountain Race, which I've not yet learnt a 60-year-old who will be able to do Red Bull Hardline. The only 60-year-old I know mountain bikes a lot still is Mr. Steve Jones. And I don't think I don't think he's doing it anytime soon. But it is a, it's like taking nothing away from Atlas Mountain Race. There's very few people who can probably do that event and actually be competitive at it. I guess the thing with Atlas Mountain Race as well is Red Bull Hardline is very much a competition and a competitive event with professional riders. Whereas events that ultra events like Atlas Mountain Race, the top guys and girls are really going for it. But for a lot of people, it's just about getting round and enjoying the experience of being in Morocco and more like the personal achievement of doing it. So they are very different events, but there's no personal... Well, it is personal achievement in doing Red Bull Hardline, but you're not going there just to show up, really, are you?
No.
You're going there for a purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys and girls turning up to Red Bull Hardline are picked. It's not just any rando can sign up and turn up, because there is a certain skill level you have to be able to do this stuff. So I think Michaela Parton, I think she ran Rider of the Week. Just absolutely sending it. But I think in the lead up to it, she'd spent a bit more time at like Dovey doing bigger gap jumps and things like that, because there's no getting around it. You have got to do these features to make it to the bottom of the hill.
And I was thinking, what can you prepare for easier? Because in one aspect, not everyone has 80-foot jumps near them.
No.
But then in another aspect, not everyone has high altitude, the weather at Atlas Mountains. the time to... So I guess the thing that you find with Red Bull Hardline is all of them are professional athletes, so yep. they will all be riding full-time, whereas many of the people preparing for Atlas Mountain Race
yeah.
will be working normal jobs. There'll be yeah. probably a select few who are fortunate enough to have commercial partners who help them out so they can ride full-time. But a yeah. lot of people doing Atlas Mountain Race probably will be back at work in a few weeks.
Well, I mean, I think Connor's a prime example of that.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, he's working here. We don't ride as much as you think we do.
No, yeah.
He's obviously got a young family to sort of look after as well.
Yeah.
And he's out there doing this absolutely mega event. So kudos to him and everyone getting involved.
Yeah, so what do you guys think is scarier, setting off for 1,300 kilometres in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco or competing in Red Bull Hardline in Tasmania? I know which one we find scary, but for a lot of people, I guess the idea of going into the Atlas Mountains is absolutely petrifying. But yeah, we'd be interested to know what you guys think in the comments down below. Let us know.
Right, we're on to the news.
Yeah.
And we mentioned, maybe a little bit too much in jest, Snowbike World Champs.
Yeah.
It did get a little bit eclipsed. We've got the Winter Olympics on at the minute, which I think they're trying to integrate that, so it kind of makes sense. It's on a similar time, but with Hardline and, Atlas Mountain Race, it has gone under the radar a little bit, but you found some really exciting results from it.
Yeah, we sort of joked, because obviously it has gone massively under the radar of the two big events, but it is a really cool event. I mean, the riders are hitting
gnarly,
like 100 kilometres per hour with nails in their tyres. Rear fenders don't, so they don't sit on their nails. So there's two different events at the Snowbike World. So they have the Super G and they also have the Dual. So first up in the Super G, men's winner was Pierre Thévenard. Sorry, I got that pronounced wrong. And then in the women, we have Lisa Bauman. And then in the slalom, we had some sick results, didn't we?
So we had Vinny T winning that, and then Cedric Gracia in second.
Yeah, so legendary downhill racer from the 2000s coming back and doing so well at an event like that. And then in the women's, we had Lisa Bauman winning the slalom as well, so she won both events. And then obviously, like we mentioned, it was Red Bull Hardline. It was a massive shame to see it get rained off.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite interesting, because we'll go through the results in a minute, but Ace of Vermette, he essentially, they took the timing off of their sort of qualifying sort of seeding runs there. I think he at the time said he left a little bit of time out on track.
Yeah.
But he still won by 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's always a shame when you see it from seeding, because a lot of riders, especially for events like Hardline, it's so gnarly, they're not going to push massively in their seeding times.
No.
I always think with events like this, they had a forecast the week in advance. They knew it was going to rain that day. You see it like a lot of surf competitions. They almost say the race is going to be at some time during this week and we'll do it on the best weather day.
Yep.
It was a shame not to see it, but it was an awesome week of riding.
Oh yeah.
So like you say, Ace of Vermette took the win in the men's, Ronan Dunn in second, and it was Troy Bosner in third, which is super consistent as ever.
Yeah. And then of the four women that entered the event, Gracie Hemstreet won.
Yeah.
And then Lou Ferguson second.
Yeah, that was a really cool event. It's always nice to see like the first downhill race of the year get a bit of insight into who's going well. I think Ace of Vermette is going to be
he's going to be someone to watch this year.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Now he's moving up to elites as well.
Yeah.
Which is, and he's got Aaron Gwynn on his team.
Mentor, who also was charging at the weekend.
He was.
That is the news.
We've got a really cool competition.
Yeah, we have.
So from our partner Topeak, you've got the chance of winning either a Prep Stand team issue tool set.
Yeah.
Or one of two Prep Stand team issue prep stands. So the competition is going to run till the 13th. Got all the links and terms and conditions down below. Click on that. I think, you've got till the 13th, and then the winner will be announced on the show next week.
Right, it's now time for my favourite part of the show, hacks and bodgers. I think we've got a proper mechanic with us, so you can actually decide whether these are hacks or bodgers.
Right, so, what have we got first?
First up, we've got this one from Laurie Carlton. So, what have we got here? Laurie says, internal brake cables. I wanted to upgrade the brakes on my son's bike from mechanical to hydraulic, although wasn't sure what cable guide sorcery was going on in the top tube, and I don't own any fancy cable routing tools. So I threaded a screw into old brake housing, chopped the head off the screw, then wound the new hydraulic hose onto the other end. One gentle pull, and it was like the new brake hose had always been there. Now my son can stop instead of just hoping for the
best.
Right,
let's have a look at this.
That's actually quite... Because I often find with like internal routines, when you don't know what's in there, you never want to just pull the old neighbour out. I've done that.
Oh, dude, I did that my second day working in a bike shop. I did that, and it was an era where cable routing was, you had your external cable, then your sort of internal bit through the frame. There's no chance of catching it.
Yeah, and then you're just trying to thread like a new inner gear cable through to find it. Yeah. I think if that works,
I think that's class.
That's a hack from me.
I mean, Parktool do make a really good internal routing tip, but
if you've managed to bodge that in your garage,
man.
I mean, it is a hack, but you've bodged it, I guess. That's a really good one, Laurie. Next up from Harrison Hughes, what have we got, Adam?
So we've got a makeshift lever bolt. So, hi from Australia, trying to bleed my brakes. Upon screwing the bolt back in, I stripped the thread. I plugged the hole with blue tack and went over it with super glue. Plan on riding with this. Feels great. Keeps fluid in. Love the channel.
I'm glad we got a mechanic in this week because he's
My word.
I mean, what happens when you want to re-bleed the brake? Or you just need a new one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you could very carefully probably drill it out, but.
Because you can't bleed a brake just from the caliper, right? You always need to do it from the lever as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that is. It's a hack that he's got it to work, but that's a massive bodge.
That is a bodge for
sure. Because you can't re-bleed your brake. So when they feel... I mean, the one good thing is it's Shimano Dior, so they often don't need bleeding that
often. No, I mean, you can get those levers for a reasonable price. Yeah. I mean, if they are like just the sort, not unbranded, but unseries Shimano ones. Yeah.
Harrison, I respect it, but that is a bodge, I'm afraid.
Yes. From Cyrus now, repurposed old hand light. So he took his old hand torch, zip tied it to an old reflector holder from my first BMX. It works pretty good, not good enough to go down tech, but good enough to keep me pedaling a bit after work through the winter.
I think that's, you probably want it mounted more in the centre of the handlebars.
I think it depends, because he's using a reflector there. Yeah. That's only going to fit around that part of the handlebar.
I mean, if it gets you home at night,
is that Canyon that's on as well?
Yeah, Canyon Spectral.
Nice.
It's a bit bodgy.
Oh, I'm going bodge. Sorry, I'm going bodge. Yeah,
it's cool that you can carry on riding there, Cyrus. What is your favourite, Adam? I think I know what mine is.
My favourite's going to be the internal routing from Laurie.
Yeah, I was going to say
good
that.
Good work.
I definitely think that's a good one because I have often, and you have often, you probably not as often as me, but you don't want, but had a lot of palavers with internal cable routing. So send your details over in our DMs, Laurie, and you have won this week's Hacks and Bodgers. You've won a prize up to the value of £50. Remember to send in your submissions for next week's show.
Right, so it is time for things we have liked this week. So what things have we liked this week, James?
I saw these actually on my Instagram feed earlier in the week, and they're a bit hipster, like Salomon XT6 are like the when you're walking around London to get your flat white shoe. But a few people have made these into like a clipless pedal shoe.
Nice.
And I mean, they just look cool. And I think, I don't know if they've got that much of a purpose, but if you're going bikepacking or something, they'd be quite handy. But the shoe's cool, and it's cool that we're seeing like...
Yeah. I mean, you can't beat an SPD sandal.
Yeah.
But
Shimano SPD sandal is the original.
Is
like,
the OG.
But it's cool to see like fashion and cycling combining as well. So that's one thing I liked.
That's cool. Bringing it back to Hardline, there's just all these clips going up, but it's just this one at Jackson Goldstone. Is like riding a bike in a way I could never.
Absolutely hanging off it. He just, the way he can create shapes on his bike.
Effortlessly.
On something that big as well. And shout out to Sleepco on the film because that is a lovely shot. And for me, it's like the essence of the all white kit and the white bike as well.
I mean, he's allowed to run that. He is world champ.
And lastly for me, pretty different vibe because it's back into the wet UK, but Wyn Masters, he says, almost time to head back to Chile. He's preparing for the urban street race out there. It's him just sending it down some absolutely heinous stair sets in the south of England. I mean, can you imagine having to walk up those stairs? I can't imagine many people do. But
just get an e-bike and ride it.
Well, I've also seen a clip of him like wheeling on an e-bike upstairs, but Wyn Masters absolutely sending it.
Nice.
I think Fer could do with some of that prep next time he goes out, because he just literally had to go out there, hadn't rode his downhill bike on steps at all. But Wyn, let us know where your steps are. But that was the things we liked this week. It is now time for a caption contest, and we had an absolute corker of a photo last week from Rich's comeback video where he had back surgery. and he's basically done his first big ride. But the photos of him in his hospital gown, and I think he said the pants were made out of paper.
Oh.
Because when you go for, like, I don't know why there needs to be paper, but they were made out of paper. So first photo up, first caption up we had from Michael Annette's 5839 caption contest. Rich's bottom bracket going in for some well-needed servicing.
I mean, with the amount of riding he does in very wet places, probably not a bad thing. Yeah. Next one from Elric TDB. Check out the rear suspension on that. I've heard of tuned mass dampers, but never tuned ass dampers.
That's a good... There's a lot of ass puns, isn't there? And then lastly up from Falafalur76. Caption contest. No, they asked for a racing pick, not a racy pick. It's not exactly a racy pick to me, but whatever you're into, guys. What's your favourite, Adam?
Oh, it's got to be the tuned ass damper.
Yeah, well, I think that's my favourite. Well done, Elric TDB. Send us your details over in our DMs and you've won a prize up to a value of £50 from the GMBN shop. This is this week's caption contest photo. Send in your comments down below.
Right, it is time for the bike vault.
Yeah, we got some corkers in this week. So first one up, we've got from Ben Mallison. And this is actually a place we're very familiar with. And I'm very, very familiar with this bit, the bike wash area recently. Mm. It's his new GT Force Carbon Pro. Very wet day at FOD, but the new bike feels great.
I'm going to give you a nice on that.
I know, it's a lovely bike, but...
Terrible
we've got
photo.
All the bike vault rules just broken. I mean, you're not even framed your full bike in, Ben. We want to see more of your new GT.
There's a nice little wooden fence by there you can lean it up against and get a proper photo.
He has cleaned it, but resend your bike in, Ben, with a full photo drive side where we can see the whole bike, and then you'll get it super nice.
Yeah.
What we got next?
Oh, that is a nuke-proof Mega by the looks of it. So let's have a look. It is a prototype nuke-proof Mega as well, built for Sam Hill to test for the 2018 season. That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So we've got Lyric, matching SRAM parts on it. What have we got?
I like the mixture of like the silver and red on that.
Yeah, that's class. I'm going to look super nice.
Yeah, that is really nice. Nice one, Tom. Next up from Adam Lebner, we've got his 2020 Giant Stance 2. Mm. Bought about a year ago. Upgraded stem bars, grips, cassette, tyres, seat, dropper, pretty much everything. Super fun ride from Bendigo, Australia.
Oh, Trigger's bike, that.
The things I'll do to be in Australia right now. I like the red on that with the gold stem.
I
have to say, like, we get a lot of really expensive bikes in the bike vault, but he has done all the perfect things for a bike vault. Super nice. So he's lined up his tyre logos, sort of in a good gear on the cassette. Good photo.
Cranks
after that.
Are appropriate. Yeah.
It's going to get super nice for me.
Well done. So we've got another bike at FOD.
Oh, yeah, so from Martin Windsor.
A white T140. So first ever full sus. RockShox Pike front and RockShox Deluxe rear. SRAM GX Eagle drivetrain. SRAM Guide G2R brakes. Been riding most week at FOD since having it. Good work.
The grey of England at the moment, I mean, it's a lovely bike, but I like seeing all the bikes from Australia. So what do you reckon? I'll let you decide.
I'm going to go with nice on that. Yeah. Just, you haven't lined your tyre logos up, but it is a wicked bike. Yeah. And that's probably like the perfect bike for around there as well.
No, it's not your fault, Martin, but we want to see some blue skies. So UK submissions have got their work up against them at the moment. See, this is the sort of background I'm wanting to see.
Yes.
So this is from Gerhard Becker. This is South African Piger Living Lively. Taking out my 2019 Piger stage stitch for a ride around the local trails. Oh, imagine having them as trails. I really like the solid gold chainring he's got.
Is that Garbrook?
Might be. Have you ever heard of Piger before?
I have, but I've not really given them as much time as I maybe should have done.
And it's quite weird. They've
very got curvy frame.
Yeah, it's got a bottle cage also on his top tube as well.
Oh yeah, I didn't spot that.
I mean, it's a cool photo.
Mm.
I really like it.
Go for it.
I'm going to give it super nice.
Mega.
And then last but not least, we have this one from Josh Stibbs.
Mm. So it's a specialised chisel, or chisel, at Swinley Forest.
Well, I don't know when he's taken this, but he has got blue sky. It can't have been in 2026.
No. Is it black bike, or is it just poorly lit?
I think it is a black bike.
I love a black bike.
I do really like the idea of having one of these, though. Like a good aluminium Forces XC bike.
Yeah. Good training bike.
You're the guest. I'm going to let you decide.
I'm going to go nice on that. There's a couple of things that aren't quite lined up.
Right, yeah. That's a mechanic in you. Affectionist. Yeah. Yeah, some great submissions there this week. Remember to send in your bikes for Bike Vault to the uploader down below.
Right, let's close out the show before James melts off his chair. What have we got coming up on the channel this week, mate?
So on Thursday, it's actually a really exciting one. So Neil's been out on the new Rallon RS from Orbea.
Nice.
Taking it for a first ride. Is this the mountain bike of the future?
Ooh, big claims.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what he thinks of that.
And then we went on a little ride last week.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be sort of witness to what happened on it. So we took some vintage mountain bikes previously belonging to the Lycra-clad GCN lot.
And me.
And actually used them for mountain biking.
Yeah, so this was a follow-up on the GCN video where they said 90s mountain bikes were the original gravel bikes. But we were keen to prove that they are actually just mountain bikes. So that one's coming out on Sunday. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to give you a handshake.
Thank you, sir.
Official, it's been great to have you in the show. And we'll see you all in the next one. Cheers.
See ya.